McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Four league games, no goals, 2 points. What is going on at Falkirk? Hopefully we can answer that question on this week's Falkirk Daft. Hello and welcome. My name is John McNally and this is your podcast dedicated with everything to do with the mighty Bairns of Falkirk. Still no ginger god of pod. Mr. Ross Wayne is sunning himself in Italy at the moment in a gondola.
Kinghorn.
Yeah, at Kinghorn. And we're joined by another ginger god, however, is Lewis Conley, the voice of Falkirk Television. Hello, Lewis.
Thanks, mate. Good to be back on.
Aye, good. Great to have you, mate. Obviously, you can't hide money on this podcast. Lewis is currently sitting in the new Scotland top. And it wasn't just the 90 quid one. Lewis got a special one in a box.
Well, I had no choice because the original one sold out. So I, the last of the birthday money went to a good cause. Is the way I looked at it.
DH Gates, your friend. That's all I'm saying.
All I had to do was kill a guy and take out a new mortgage, and that's it. Done.
Well, done. It's look. I have to say, it's an absolute belter, though. Best Scotland top ever.
Certainly one of the best ones for a long time. I think they've massively underestimated the demand for it. Yeah. The way they. They kind of did the wholesale thing. I think they've annoyed a lot of the fans. So hopefully they can get more in towards the end of the year.
The problem with it is that when it got the pictures of it came out and everyone's like, take my money, Adidas have actually said, do you know what? We're actually going to do that. And they have actually taken all the money from everyone.
Yep.
But it's a belt. I didn't realise, however, I was like, when we played against Spain, Lewis, I'm going, why are they not playing in that top? And they're only playing in it for three games, apparently.
Three matches, aye, that's right. I think the England game is going to be one of them.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But and you were at the Spain game. You know how I'm deflecting here and stop talking about the Falkirk game. We're just talking about the Scotland game instead. What an absolute amazing result. And obviously, the atmosphere looked incredible. Best atmosphere you've had at Hampden?
One of the better ones. It wasn't far off the atmospheres at the Israel and Denmark games last time.
Yeah.
Those two and the England 2-2. Those three games are probably the kind of bar that I would say. And it wasn't far away. Yep.
Yeah, no, belter. Absolute belter. Looked like a great game. I watched it on the telly and it was cracking. Right, we'll talk about Falkirk now, though, I guess. Semi-final tickets before we get into the match. And semi-final tickets on sale now. Unbelievable. We just went on sale on Thursday there. We've shifted more than 6,000 already. That's only 3 days, and the North Stand's currently sold out in the shop as well, which is a phenomenal effort just over the course of 3 days. What are we thinking, Lewis? Over 10,000, do we think, at this point?
For ourselves or in total?
For ourselves.
Do you know, I set an early target of 7,000 or 8,000. I still think we can hit 8,000, especially given we've done 6,000 so quickly.
Yeah.
Obviously, our supporters, our season ticket holder base is, you know, a couple of thousand, 2,000-3,000. So to get 6,000 is brilliant going, and to get that so early is great. I would like to think we can hit at least 8,000. Anything above that, John, we'll take it as a bonus. Either way, I genuinely believe that we'll have at least three, if not four times as many fans there as Inverness, because I'm honestly expecting 2,500 for Inverness.
Yeah, I've heard ticket sales are really struggling. I mean, they've went on sale up there as well. And someone I saw online, someone said it's 1,000 at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, I guess by the time you add all the sponsors and all that into it, you're probably looking at maybe 15,000 inside Hampden, maybe a bit more than that, which is, it's never great.
No, and that's the thing. You know, there's this big debate around, you know, would you move it elsewhere and should Falkirk and Inverness be going elsewhere? And I think, as I said, you know, recently, you know, the players want it at Hampden. It's contractual anyway, so it has to be there. But from a player's point of view, they consciously want it at Hampden. Yeah. Might be the only chance they get.
Exactly. So, no, great start for the Bairns. I'm hoping for 10. I really do think we can get to 10. So, I know so many like lax Bairns supporters that are going, so and they've not got their tickets yet. So, I think we'll get to 10. So, fingers crossed. And if you want to look Hampden chic and want to look really cool there, you can get one of our bucket hats. Yes, they are on sale. They're out there now in the world. You can get them from citrusofficesolutions.co.uk. The link is below in the description. I don't know if you've seen these, Lewis, reversible bucket hats. I don't know if I can pull off a bucket hat at 42, I'll be honest with you. But Ross Wayne, young...
Well, he can't pull one off either, mate, so let's be honest.
Exactly.
He loves them, but... You know,
he thinks he's young team, right? So this has been Ross's brainchild. Ross loves a bucket hat. You know, it goes well with Stone Island. But to be fair, we've had a absolute phenomenal demand for these. We've sold out our first batch. We had to reorder and get new stock in. So there is going to be new stock in. So check out citrusofficesolutions.co.uk. Get your bucket hat reversible for Hampden. Love to see as many Falkirk supporters out there with the hat on. And all the profits going back into the club in ways of sponsorship and all that sort of stuff for next season. So get your... You could do a bucket hat, Lewis. It might be a nice sunny day.
Just to keep the old solar-powered napper on the go.
Exactly. So, you know, this is perfect for you. But if you want to get involved, all the details are below. Get your bucket hat sorted for Hampden. We'd love to see you with a Falkirk Daft bucket hat there. Hampden still seems like it's an eternity away, and we've got a lot of football to get through between now and then. We'll get into... the Coy game in a minute. Not much going in the way of club news, however, Lewis, over the last week, apart from the ticket sales. Max was named Player of the Month from the sponsors, MD Finlay. There, I couldn't see who else it would go to this month, if I'm honest with you.
I think it was only going to be him or Guff, one of the two. You know, yeah. Guff for the spectacular goal and coming on and scoring, you know, so many in such a short period of time. But, you know, especially with it being a hat trick, but I think Max over the piece probably deserves it. He was consistent.
Yeah, I mean, something we're maybe short of at the moment is consistent players. And Morrison's been a bit off the boil. Kai obviously had his go against Ayr, but it's been off the boil. I think the only one I could put in there, I think defensively, I think Cole Donaldson's not been at it really over the last month. Brad McKay or Liam Henderson are the only other two I can think of that have been actually pretty consistent over the month.
Brad was probably man of the match for me on Saturday. He's one of these guys who he never gets a lot of praise because of the position that he plays. But he won every header, he won every block. What more do you want the guy to do? He did his job. He kept the back door shut.
There's an early hint of who Lewis's Falkirk Daft rated player might be this week.
Probably.
Let's just get into the game then, shall we? And every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to invite a guest pundit on to help us review that game. And this week, it is none other than Sinclair Cram.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not bad. So we're going to cover the game at the weekend there.
We certainly will.
Give us some feedback.
We'll get into that in a minute, Sinclair. But first, we need to know your Falkirk story, Sinclair.
All right, okay. You know, I can do that.
How long have you been watching Falkirk, and when did you start going to the games?
So, I look back at my time at school, and we were sitting in accounts class. There's a few the familiar faces, you know, like Chris and stuff. We'd be sitting, they'd be talking in depth about what happened the weekend. And in all honesty, at that stage of my life, I wasn't really into football. And I think, you know, as the years went on and Chris invited me along to the games, and I really got the bug probably my late teens. I mean, that's when I really kind of started watching. My earliest recollection of going to any Falkirk games was probably in the late 80s. My dad took me along. I was eating prawn sandwiches in the main stand, I think.
Oh, nice.
And then, but no, you know what it's like? Unless you've got someone that's taking you along on a regular basis at that age, you know, it doesn't really stick. Which is why now I've been dragging my own son along, and he's got the bug.
That's right. If you suffered, he has to suffer too. Get him
exactly.
To
that. Yeah, totally. Exactly. So I'd say late teens. At that point, I was absolutely hooked, and became a regular season ticket holder then.
Yeah, so Sinky, who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time? You're not allowed to pick any of the Holy Trinity. So apart from, so they're all excluded. Stainrod, Latape and Crunchy are all excluded. You need to pick someone else. Who is it?
I mean, I think everyone's got that kind of top three. I'm not going to go through them, all of them, I don't think. But I think I'm going to be quite controversial. I think there's one position. Yeah, this is recent times. I know you could keep going back and back, but I think in recent times the one position that I don't think we've really filled since we lost them was Will Volkes. Yeah. I don't think he's not necessarily a legend, but I think what he brought to the game in terms of his box to box football and the goals, his goal ratio, was excellent. And I think since then we haven't really addressed that problem in the middle of the park.
Just his energy as well, eh?
They brought, yeah. His goal celebrations.
Aye, well, there is that as well. But no, certainly for the, you know, we've had a few of the young team stuff on here, and that's a name which I guess in years to come, we'll kind of look back at Will Volkes and, you know, maybe you're saying he's not a club legend, Sinky, but I think for younger generation, he's up there with your Latapies, with your Stainrods, you know, because we've got to remember, Stainrod was only at us a season and a bit. You know, Russell and Crunchy are very different, obviously.
Well, that's it, yeah, because even Stokes, I think he was, what, it was like 6 months?
Yeah, exactly, and we still talk about him as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. But no, I think so, a great shout. And like you say, it's probably not a position we've replaced since he left, that box-to-box goal-scoring midfielder. Though Wee Max could be that, obviously, we've only got him and Mo.
Got potential, yeah.
Just to interject on that, one of my pet hates, if I may, just add it in. You mentioned Russell Latapy. Do you realize Russell Latapy is not a member of the Hall of Fame at Falkirk? And the reason
for
that,
scandal.
No. So he's one of the Holy Trinity. He's not in the Hall of Fame. And the reason for that, when I went away and did a little bit of digging with the help of Andy Hewlett and his dad who run the Better Medal website, which is terrific. If you haven't seen it, you're a Falkirk fan, check it out. So it's 200 games is the criteria to be considered as a Hall of Famer. Russell Latapy is on 197 appearances.
Really?
So that kind of little alleged, not fallout with Yogi, but he kind of fell out of favour a wee bit in his last season. But if you remember, he didn't play a lot of the game. He was on the bench every week, and he didn't come on really between like August and then he left in the January. And I look back at that now and go, all he needed was three appearances off the bench in like 4.5 months, and he would be in the Hall of Fame. And actually, he's not.
I did not realise that, Lewis. But I tell you what, if Russell, you're listening and you fancy a game over the season to get yourself into the Hall of Fame.
Only three
appearances off the bench, and I'm sure he would still do a job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the number of fags he was smoking that caught up with him.
That is very true. But I did not realise that. So let's start the campaign to get Russell in the Hall of Fame. And like you say, if we only need three appearances, we can make that happen, I'm sure.
I asked before, could the club soften the entry criteria just as a wee, you know, favour for, and they said no, but who knows? It's a new era. You never know. I'll ask again.
What about including his international appearances as a Falkirk player within?
Well, that's
that?
Only one, because I was at that.
Yeah.
It was 2006. It was only one, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. Okay. Well. We'll get to the bottom. This needs to happen. This is definitely you've opened a can here, Lewis, and we need to get this sorted. Absolutely. Right. Okay. Then we've scuttled about enough here. Let's get into the match. You were both there at the weekend. I unfortunately was not. It was Falkirk 0, Clyde 0. Out at Hamilton, New Douglas Park. When you looked at the lineup, it was very surprising to see that Kai Kennedy, Sean Mackey, not so surprising to see Ryan Williamson wasn't available, but Kai Kennedy, Sean Mackey, not there. Lewis, you spoke to John after the match. Kai Kennedy had picked up, was it a hamstring problem with him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of them are too long-term from what I've been told. Just kind of little niggling injuries, you know, somebody might be out for a week. Some of them may be back in contention for this week, but it's not guaranteed yet.
Good to see our Paul Watson back on the bench.
Yeah, it's been a long, long journey for Paul. I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity just to kind of catch up with him now and again. And, you know, the one thing that perhaps the fans aren't aware of is I know it sounds daft, but just how hard he has been working. You know, because he's been out of sight, you kind of understandably forget about guys in that situation. But I know just how much effort, the sheer amount of time and effort he has been putting in. He's wanted to be back on the pitch since December. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, had a little setback at the time. And, you know, there was no way he could have done that. The knee would have broken down again. But as you say, great to see him back. We've still got about half a dozen games to go. He might get some pitch time.
Yeah, but probably a big surprise here was wee Max dropping onto the bench, certainly in the absence of Kai Kennedy, just for that creative, you know, the creativity that we need in the middle of the park. Sinky, were you surprised about that as well when you saw the team lineup?
Yeah, like I think over the months, I think what Glenn's been trying to do is get a bit of stability. You know, I think he seems to go with a lineup and stick with it. And, you know, in some of his post-match interviews, he has said, you know, why change a system if it's working? And I accept that. But I think when you look at the situation that Clyde are in, and the fact that we're looking to pick up some goals, you're looking for some additional creativity in the middle. And yeah, it was a bit surprising, I guess. Maybe the switch I would have made is maybe leave Hendo on the bench and bring Max on instead and let McGinn sit deep. But yeah, I think the only other creative player you're looking for in the middle there is Nisbet. He was, at one point, he was probably the highest, had the highest number of assists in our league.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is now, if that's fallen away. But maybe it's got something to do with the fact that we're not creating as many goals.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, McGuffey started out wide left. I mean, McGuffey, he's not got that pace, has he, really, to be that winger? I mean, obviously, against Peterhead, we all look back at that, but Craig McGuffey's always struck me as being someone who played the middle part, so I'm just wondering why he did. Maybe he could have tried Max with his, you know, he's got a bit of pace about him, he's got a burst of pace, he digs up, digs in, creativity. Was it worth maybe trying him on the left, Lewis? Or
I think the trouble is he wanted to keep Nizzy central. After experimenting in the other game when Aidan Nisbet moved from the kind of traditional number 10 role and he played him wide left. And we also, you know, respectfully, he still put in a shift, no question about it. Mm-hmm. He just didn't influence the game as much as he himself would want. So I think John was trying to keep Aidan Nisbet in that number 10 position, and with Stephen McGinn now coming back, that's why something had to give, and it was Max in the middle. And the only other real left winger you've got, I think it was just a choice of two. The one guy maybe we've not mentioned, so you've got Craig McGuffey, who is an orthodox left winger, or Ola Lawal. And I think Ola's now back in the squad, that's great to see as well, but also hasn't had a lot of minutes. So still needs to kind of build things up. So I'm assuming that's what swung that decision in Guff's favour.
Yeah, I mean, the other one I've been saying is giving Ramarn a go out wide left as well with his pace. You know, but there you go. Hey, listen, we're not the managers, but I thought when I saw the team, I expected more changes to have been made in that. Gary Oliver, I thought, should have been dropped out. I don't think he's been great. But we all know why he gets picked, for his work rate. And yet again, you saw within the highlights the fact that he just keeps dropping deep and gathering the ball. And he does all that great forward play. But, you know, just for me, he should have been dropped and we should have went with something different. A lot of cries. And I heard you, Lewis, asking John McGuinn about it after the game, was looking for that two up front. We know we tried it against Alloa last time we played at the Rex, and it didn't look great when we started with Burrell and Jordan Allen. But, you know, against a team like Clyde, we're, you know, like Sinky says, we're pushing for goals, we're needing goals, we've been bereft of goals the last few weeks. You know, yeah, he certainly answered your question, Lewis, but is it something, do you think he'll look at over the next couple of weeks?
I think certainly there's a case that against teams, I say this with all due respect, to both Clyde and Peterhead, the two bottom teams in the league, regardless of who they actually are, you should be looking to, you know, excuse the terminology, but, you know, put your foot on the throat a bit and go for the kill. And just, as you said, you need to go for goals. You have to. And that, of course, would need a change in formation. I think against anybody in the playoff positions and above, and pretty much top half of the league, I don't expect John to change his formation. We all know he plays a 4-2-3-1. You know, it's been 99% of the games this season have been a 4-2-3-1. And I know, you know, when it's in an attacking sense and the two wide men go forward, you could argue it's maybe kind of a 4-3-3, but I don't think that will change against anyone. For example, on Saturday, I fully expect it to be 4-2-3-1 again.
Yeah, I'd expect that as well. But, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, teams have worked this out, and it seems that teams have worked this out. When you go up like a solid couple of banks of four, we seem to struggle against that. You know, we've seen it against Clyde there. We saw it against Kelty the week before, Queen of the South. You know, teams have come up and they just seem to know how to play the system. You know, and if you're looking for a draw, you know, against Falkirk, it's like John said after the match, 10 men behind the ball, play solid banks of four, and we don't know how to get around that.
Yeah. I would actually mix it up completely. I think there's an argument for me, some games I would like to see us go into three centre halves. Now that you've got Liam Henderson, who is a centre half by trade, you know, available, and Brad McKay, Cole Donaldson, you could actually play all three of them.
Yeah.
And you've got Sean Mackey as well. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Paul Watson just coming back. You could play then with, you know, Leon McCann, let's be honest, spends half the time attacking anyway. He's more than capable going forward. The only question then would be, was do you play Blaine Rowe, Cal Morrison on the right? Probably need to be Blaine for the defensive element, but then it's how you would then fit Cal in to that formation. Mm-hmm. But then that would give you that 5-3-2.
Yeah.
And I think that would still give you the defensive solidity that the manager wants, but also maybe a little bit more in the final third that I think the fans are hoping for in the next few games.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it a bit more, I think, when we get to the Dunfermline preview part of the podcast. But, Sinky, you were at the match. We'll just get your overall feelings on it. I mean, looking back at it, the highlights, that was probably the shortest highlights package we've had all season, Lewis. 3 minutes. It was only about three minutes.
I did not envy Adam's job trying to do the highlights for that one. I must admit, he does a good job, Adam, behind the camera. And, you know, a day like that where Saturday there really wasn't very much to commentate on. There wasn't very many highlights. It was, you know, I think Clyde had maybe a couple of chances.
I mean, early on in the fifth minute, Kyle Doherty obviously hitting the bar. I mean, that's the closest any team got to scoring.
Yeah. And I guess we had the kind of sort of triple save stroke block right at the end of the first half. But, you know, beyond that, there wasn't really much for either goalkeeper to do.
I think
did it go wrong since, thank you?
Yeah, I think you're right. The chances were few and far in between. It was very kind of lackluster, pedestrian at times. Yeah, listening to McGlynn in post-match interview, they're talking about he wants to pass our way forward. It's difficult when you're trying to break down like that 11-man defence. So I think for me, it was lacking a bit of intensity. You know, I would like to see us maybe running at them a bit more. Try and get in behind them, behind the defence. But we lacked so much creativity, energy. And you know, looking ahead at the Dunfermline game, we have to really up our game a bit to give them a chance of taking anything from them.
Yeah, I mean the big chance, I guess, was near the end of the first half when we had that. Steve McGinn, I don't know why he's not pulled the trigger. You know, he seems to pass on. He's passed the buck there a wee bit rather than pulling the trigger. But
it takes a bit of confidence in that situation to take a touchdown. But you think a man of his experience would by now be wanting to have a shot from there.
But
he's got it in his locker.
I know, it didn't look like Mullen had a couple of saves, but it didn't really look like he had much work to do.
No, I never tested the keeper at all, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I'm looking through the highlights. I'm looking through the match report, and I'm finding it hard to actually talk about anything. I mean, Romain Barrel, everyone was crying for him to come earlier on against Celtic. He came on the 57th minute. How did he look? Did he offer anything different or any way of a threat?
I think Romain did give a little bit of energy, to be fair, but what disappointed me a little bit was I don't think we supplied him right at all. It came on, and there was two or three times when he used that pace that he's got to kind of, you know, burst away. But he was having to like come out into wide areas or drop a little deeper. And Romain's game has always been, you know, is the best element of his game is playing on the shoulder of the last defender. You know, you put that slide rule pass through and you just let him go. And no, he just didn't seem to do that. So while he brought a bit more energy to the team when he came on, I just don't think we utilised him effectively. And probably the key word that Sinky said during his sort of summary of the game was it was a bit lethargic. And I don't mean that as any one man. I wouldn't single any one person out. Just as a team, I don't think they were jaded. It's just one of those games where the whole team as a collective just seems to be not quite at it.
You know, it's almost been since the Dunfermline game, their game aside, yeah, because that was the cup, but it's almost like, fuck it. Yep. We're not going to win the league now. You know, as supporters, we're maybe a bit to blame with that because we've all walked to East End Park probably that night going, league's done. And I think, you know, we all walked out saying the league's done. But then you look at Dunfermline's results since then.
Correct.
And it's like, well, it's not done. If we just kept our foot on the gas a wee bit more, you know, that's 4 points we've dropped over the last couple of weeks. They've dropped the exact same amount, you know, and we could have been back in going into Saturday. It could have been a lot, you know, a lot more exciting going into Saturday when, you know, we're probably going to be, I'm just doing the maths, Lewis, how many points would have been off then if we're going into Saturday?
On other results, and if you'd have won at East End, mm-hmm, potentially it could have been a 4 point gap going into this game, which if you did win, I know that's a big if given the record so far, but if you did, you're then down to a 1 point gap,
yep,
with five games to go. So it's a great point you make, and that's something that I'm glad you brought that up because it was something I was going to mention tonight. You know, had we just, as you say, kept the foot on the gas the last few games, there was a potential to be in a situation after Saturday of a 1 point gap. But we've let it slip again. It's that key word we've said all along this season, consistency.
Yeah. Well, but we did have that consistent run in the middle of the season, though, and that's what's the frustrating thing. You know, up until we dropped those points at Alloa, we were flying. We're going absolutely flying. And it wasn't until a last-minute penalty that obviously let, you know, that winning streak go. But, you know, and it's just, it just seems to void the eyes. And going back to the tactics and going back to the fact that, you know, Kelty, Clyde, who are, you know, bottom half of the League One, have found us out, you know, and they just know how to play against us. And, you know,
James, yeah, I do think it's a bit of a turning point in that even the first goal against the Dunfermline, where the heads seem to have dropped. And, you know, traditionally, I think the league running, it's a test of character. You know, fatigue, I guess, is starting to kick in. Shouldn't be. It does. We've got a lot of games this month. And, you know, I think it's not so much a technical aspect of our game that's a problem. It's psychological.
Do you think, Sinky, that this is something that somebody asked me over the weekend? Do you think that while the semi-final is something that everybody should be looking at from a playing point of view, going, you know what, we've got like five games to really impress the manager, to burst a gut, to make sure that I'm in that team for Hampden. Do you think it's maybe had the opposite effect? The fact that the guys think we're unlikely to win the league, I want to make sure I play in that game.
Yeah.
I'm just be clear here, just in case anybody misinterprets this, I'm not for a second saying that somebody is not giving 100%, not at all. But there's always that wee bit of, like, your subconscious that thinks, what's really to play for between now and then?
No, yeah, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a similar thought. You know, it could just be as simple as I wouldn't go in 100% in this tackle or, you know, run that extra bit for the ball in case I get injured. But what's particularly interesting about the the cup games is that they've always been, particularly in the last three, they've been a bit of a break from the league. I think when you look at what happened, that we lost that last minute goal against Alloa, then did we go to Darvel straight after that and win. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that breaks away from the league has had a kind of positive impact at times, and I don't think anybody could have imagined we'd be in the situation we're in now within touching distance of a final.
Yeah, I mean, the overall game then, I mean, again, I've got to, the crowd, and again, I would think the crowd would be a lot bigger, but there was only 1,000 there. You know, I guess a great proportion of that was Falkirk supporters, but yeah, Sinky, you thought the crowd looked poor.
I was at the first away to get McClyde, and we had the young team up in the corner making lots of noise. But yeah, I'm sure Liz will agree, it was very, very quiet. No noise at all.
I mean, you got semi-final tickets come into that. Semi-final tickets went to sale there. So, you know, they obviously cost a wee bit. So maybe a bit of that came into that as well. We've not mentioned the referee, which is probably a good thing. I'm guessing it didn't look like he did anything wrong, Scott Lambie.
No, not at all. I think, in actual fact, I was quite pleased with the refereeing for maybe the first half hour. The decisions he was making were unusually agreed with them, shall we say.
Yeah, there weren't too many moments of controversy. That probably helped him. It was a pretty quiet, drab game, to be honest.
I mean, you look at the stats of the game, 10 shots to Clyde, 9 shots to us, 1 target for them, 4 on target for us. It just seemed a lack of urgency, a lack of creativity, just a lack of something that's really affected us on Saturday. It just seems a bit of a meh game again, like we had against Kelly. I mean, at least in Kelly, we were sitting here last week saying, right, well, we should have had a penalty. We should have had that goal. It was disallowed. We had, you know, several chances, but Saturday it was just like nothing.
You also have to look at it from Clyde's point of view. That I know we should be going out there and getting a result, but they've set themselves up to be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and break us down, break down the play as much as they can and try and catch us on the break. And all credit to them, they did a good job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the guy, Curtis Roberts, and it was a really rigid 4-1-4-1 they played for the game. And I thought Roberts did really well in midfield, some really good footwork. There was 2 or 3 times he breezed past a couple of our players. And the one, perhaps the one disappointment was we know from their time with us that Ryan McGeever and Brian McLean are two really big, you know, they're 6'4" roughly each, physically dominating centre halves. If you play the long ball or the high ball, they're going to eat that up all day. And that's what happened. And unfortunately for us, you know, Clyde were equally as effective at getting to the second ball.
Yeah. Well, let's see what John McGlynn said after the game as Lewis caught up with him.
John, a frustrating afternoon. We haven't found the net in a league game in 4 games now. In your own words, what's gone wrong for us up front at the moment?
Well, we're just not finding the connection. We're not quite cohesive enough to break down stubborn defences. You know, you're coming up against 10 men behind the ball, as we did last Friday and as we found today. Teams like Kelty and Clyde are quite happy to get a point, and it's difficult to break them down, really difficult to break them down. And when you get little half chances, you've really got to take them, and that would make all the difference. Once again, it's no down to lack of effort, it's no down to lack of commitment, I don't think. I think we've put a lot into the game. We've just, you know, not quite firing all cylinders. It's disappointing, it's frustrating. There is no magic wand to it. You know, we believe we've got a good squad. We believe the players are backing each other. But the first half probably was too many errors, too many elementary passes that went astray, which didn't help you build attacks. We still had opportunities. We were a little bit careless in counter attacks. I mean, we were attacking set plays and got hit on a counter attack on one of the occasions where they actually hit the bar very early in the game. I think it was 4 or 5 minutes into the game. So that was you know, the type of thing that will happen when you're pushing so many bodies forward, and I'm talking about throughout the whole game, and in the second half we've got so much, we're pushing the fullbacks forward, we end up with like three different strikers on the pitch trying to get, you know, someone who's going to, you know, make a little bit of kind of a difference, that's going to get us a goal. But we didn't quite take these like half chances that came along. Callum's had a shot in the first half that the goalie makes a really, really good save from. The ball goes across the face of the goal, and Aidan Nesbitt's got a great chance now. I've not seen it back, and I think it must have been some kind of block. That, and there was bits and pieces like that. Their goalkeeper threw the ball right out to Aidan. I mean, again, I've not seen it back. I've not, it must have been a good opportunity to get a goal, you know. And you know, we didn't even get an attempted goal out of it. You know, little moments like that, you've got to take them, you know. And Aidan gets in behind the defence in the second half on that side, and again we didn't even get a shot at goal. And there's little bits and pieces like that that going in changes the whole complexion of the game, changes the complexion of our performance and the result. But we're not, and it's a little bit frustrating that we're making some poor decisions on the ball, we're making some poor decisions, and we've just lost that little bit of confidence. And confidence is so important, because the longer it goes without, you know, breaking teams down and scoring a goal, then there's that little bit of doubt creeps in, and where you would have normally have just passed it so quickly, you hesitate, say, oh, well, I know, and that opportunity is gone. And we're finding that's, you know, it's crept in a little bit, which is, it's frustrating and it's hard to accept, but it is what it is, and that is a fact. So we need to get back to doing what we're doing. We are trying to win every game, make no mistake about it, we're trying to win every game. We stick together, and we look to the training during the week, and then on to the game against Dunfermline next week.
Very frustrated, John McGonn there, Lewis. How long did it take? I'm interested, how long did it take him to come out for his post-match interview?
It was probably the longest wait at an away game this season.
Right, okay. Okay.
It was similar, you know, last week, it was, I think it was about 35 minutes last week at the home game, which is uncharacteristic. You know, he's normally out about 15 minutes after. Goes in, has a wee debrief with the guys, that's it. But this would be akin to last week as well. I reckon it was at least a kind of 35 minute wait.
Right, that's interesting. I mean, he talks Sinky there about the belief in squad, the fact that we have got a big squad there now. Why then has he, you know, certainly someone like Jordan Allen, the big question for me for Jordan Allen is, why have we bought Jordan Allen? We've spent money on Jordan Allen. And you think, going to the old adage, he's bound to score against his old club, bound to score. But we don't, you know, and Clyde obviously have rude, you know, we're speaking to Paul and from the Clyde FC podcast last week, and, you know, the goals have dried up since Jordan Allen's moved for them. Why are we not using the squad, you know, when we talked about that starting line?
Yeah, I think we'd be using them in the right way, though. Yeah. you're absolutely right. I think we've got strength and depth. It's a very strong bench that we start with every week. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we took off Aidan quite, what was it, middle of the second half, Lewis?
It's 76 minutes. It was
76 minutes. But, you know, if you're looking for creativity, I think there's this misconception that you just bring on extra strikers. We've done this quite a number of times this season. We just stick an extra couple of strikers at the top, and we just lump the ball into the box. Yeah. But as Lewis is pointing out, big centre half's just going to knock them away every time. Yeah. So just stick with your original plan of getting the ball to feet, with guys like Jordan Allen that can sort of run onto it instead. And maybe that's got something to do with the fact we didn't have not as many penalty shouts this season either. So we've not got boys that are actually running in the box. You know, we're trying to get behind the defence and using the wing backs or wingers and whip it in. We're not actually running, having players run in the box with it.
Yeah, I mean, I like to go back to this. I quite like the idea of 3-5-2, Lewis, I have to say. And then given the question is, would you fit Cal Morrison outside? But see if you played him as a float, you know, a free role, gave him a free role to just go where he wants to go. you know, behind a front two against a team like Clyde, they wouldn't know how to deal with that, I don't think. You know, if you were to go with an Allen and Burrow up front, I think I talked about it. If you went for Allen and Burrow up front with Cal Morrison and then two sitting, perhaps Liam and Max or Liam and McGinn, it's worth a shot, isn't it?
It's something to consider, but what I would say is, do you want to make such a bold change to a system that you've played in 99% of your games going into a derby match? Probably not. I think
I don't think going into this week, but against a Clyde, against the Celtic.
Against Clyde, yeah. So, sorry. So I think Clyde, as I said earlier, was a game that I perhaps would have experimented a little bit personally, just purely personal opinion. I think you could have justified an extra man up front in a game like that. I can see why the guys wanted to stick with what they feel is a tried and tested formation. I get that. And, you know, there's no denying, I think John and Paul have done a really good job. We are moving in the right direction. You compare us now to where we were last year, and we're on the right track. There's still that question that we touched on last week of, who is your perfect striker or combination of strikers up front? And that's perhaps what needs to be the key question going forward. You know, what is our most effective? Because we don't really have a proper physical target man. Matty Wright's been brought in to add a little bit of height. He's won a few flick-ons, but he's never played with somebody such as Jordan Allen or Remarn for more than like 25 minutes. To see if they can build up an understanding and actually hold the ball higher up in that final third. Because if you're going to play Jordan Allen, or to an extent Remarn, you probably need somebody up there to help them.
If you're going to play Jordan Allen, you need to play someone up beside them.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where you get the best out of Jordan Allen. Because in that game against Clyde back at our place, as we said last week, I thought Cunningham and Allen as a pairing worked really well together. They weren't that big, they weren't that physical, but you know what? Their link play and their running off each other was really good.
Yeah. Let's see what the supporters are saying to the game. A lot of frustration out there, as you can imagine. Jim says, four games in a row in this league without a goal is unacceptable. I can agree with that. You know, in League One, there's no way we should be going four games without scoring a goal. Two versus the bottom three. The team appear to have accepted they will show up at Hampden for the first playoff. I'm afraid that isn't how it works. Manager unable to motivate. That crucial Queen of the South loss is down to him. We need to find momentum. You know, we talked about that, 3 points and a must. We need to find momentum from somewhere, so I'm with you on that one, Jim. Derek says, we badly need some creativity to get the fans excited. We're going through the motions when teams are fighting for their lives. Get Morrison back on the right, Burrow up top with Lowell playing as a 10. Henderson and McGinn need to step it up with Max feeding the bullets. There's a shout for you.
I do think we need to be a little bit quicker front to back. I will say that. And I don't mean playing direct and launching it down the field. You look at how quickly Clyde went back to front through the transitions on Saturday compared to ourselves. I think at times we maybe like
to... McGinn slow it down a bit. He likes to ponder about on the ball a wee bit. McGinn, you know, if you're looking to speed it up, like you say, going through the transitions quicker, you need someone in that defensive role who's going to, you know, not slow it down. Aidan Nesbitt can be guilty of that as well. You know, maybe this is where we're finding the problem. It's a good shout, Lewis, is just getting the ball quick, moving the ball quicker.
I just think, you know, it starts, you could argue even it goes right the way back, and this isn't a criticism, it's just an observation. You could argue it even starts from right back at your goalkeeper when you take possession. You know, are we providing him with a quick out ball? Is he delivering that quick out ball? Mm-hmm. And then who wants it higher up the pitch to launch a kind of quick counter? It's something that maybe we've not seen too much evidence of that at times this season. I think in the middle kind of chunk of the season, we were doing that really well. And for me, that's something that the first maybe quarter of the season, we were a bit on and off. And that's why I thought we were a little bit inconsistent in the first quarter. We seem to have that kind of middle third of the season, I thought, you know, we were going great guns. We were something like, what was it, 13, 14 undefeated?
Yeah.
And then it's just like we've maybe eased off that a little bit. Why is the million-dollar question, but something maybe just to keep a little eye on in the next few games.
Yeah, definitely. Dougie says, terrible all over the park today. Can someone please tell me why we paid money for Jordan Allen, then not give him a fair chance? Every team seems to know they, if they play two backs or four against us, we're struggling to break them down. That's Dougie, you've made all the points I've just made in this show, because so great minds think alike. Ryan,
hang on. If it's a Dougie I think of, I know him, and you're both a pair of rockets. So it's not necessarily great minds. It's just numpties also congregate together. Right? If it's another Dougie, I do apologise.
Yeah, Ryan says, all the good work done in the middle of the season being undone. Boring, predictable. Too many touches. That's what goes to you, Lewis, actually. Too many stray passes or forfeiting the ball. No creativity. Lethargic. No drive. Pish. A fair summation from Ryan there. It gets worse. Simon, we're in danger of blowing this season. Even after the defeat to them, we just had to consolidate and get a good winning team on the park for the running. I think we're definitely in the playoffs. Looking at the table, you know, we're 9 points ahead of Edinburgh in fifth. But I guess the worry is going back to the last two seasons when we've blown it. I don't think McGlynn's got it in his locker. My big worry, however, is Airdrie, who are now 4 points off us. There is not much difference between second and third in this league. You know, no, if you finish second and third, it's just the home advantage goes the other way.
A little bit of prize money as well.
Airdrie are fucking flying. They're absolutely going good guns. You know, 71 goals they've scored now this season. 71, which is mental. And they are absolutely the form team in the league at the moment. They're just scoring for fun. And that is what is worrying Falkirk supporters at the moment. It really is.
That Charlie Telfer looks a good player.
If you're averaging 2 goals a game over the season, which is what we're talking about, you know, they're like 2.1, 2.2 goals a game. Mm-hmm. You're always in with a shout. You know, their difficulty was at times they weren't keeping the back door shut. Even when they went through their kind of sticky patch,
they were getting some mental results.
If you go back to, like, I think it was kind of turn of the year time,
yeah,
mid-December to kind of early January, they had a real kind of 4 or 5 weeks where they had their sticky patch. You could argue this is just ours now.
Yeah.
You know? And the first quarter of the season was maybe
inconsistent
management, players.
It's
just letting everything bed in. And then, you know, everything clicked and we had a fantastic run. And now maybe is this just our time to have, you know, a handful of games where this is our sticky patch? I hope it comes to an end soon, obviously.
I hope it comes to an end on Saturday. Peter says, carbon copy of the last few games. Very surprised we did not change the starting lineup again. I mean, we obviously did change it, but that was enforced with Kai Kennedy dropping out. No atmosphere, poor performance. Unfortunately, the wheels seem to have come off. Need to buck up our ideas and try to have a big stroke successful end to the season. Come on, ye Bairns. It's bucking up our ideas. It's such a dad thing. I can imagine McGlynn saying that. Buck up your ideas, son. That's what we need to do. Just buck up our ideas, absolutely. Michael says, too predictable and too obvious. Worrying we failed to beat and also score against C-Cubs from the bottom half of the table in the past three games. We really struggle to break teams down when they play 10 men behind the ball. We also need to learn to shoot on sight more. We've got players that can do that. I think when Max plays, he likes a ping at goal. Stephen McGinn, you would hope, you know, he scored a couple this season. But yeah, Hendel likes a ping as well. But maybe we do need to shoot a bit more from outside the box.
I mentioned that on commentary. I think, you know, if we're getting to around about 20, 22 yards out, anywhere around the box, I don't know what you think, Sankey, but I'd like to see the guys having a go.
Well, yeah, because anything can happen, right? The keeper can spill it. I would like to see more from the middle.
Yeah. Ross, I'm starting to worry when I saw the lineup. I knew exactly how we would play, which is pretty frustrating. We aren't creating chances. McGlynn should have changed it up more, and today it was a chance for him to do it. We are far too predictable. Yeah, all of the above.
The one guy who I think we haven't spoken about too much, as I kind of said earlier, is I'd like to see what Ola Lawal can do for the last half dozen games.
He's an enigma. He's an absolute maverick. He's all limbs, and you just don't know a footballer. When he's coming against you, you would hate to play against him because he's 100%. All just, he's like, you know, going back to, you know, blast for the past, someone like Carlton Palmer or that kind of mode of player where he's all just big limbsy and you just, hey, Kanu or someone like that. Do you know what I mean? You just, you don't know what you're going to, how to defend against them.
I think the reason he wasn't in the team earlier in the season consistently was the fact he was stepping up to kind of senior leagues.
Yeah,
it was his first season full time, you know, full time training, all that kind of thing. He had to adjust to all of it. And he's one that, you know, will take a little bit of time to kind of bed in it and see the best coming out of him. And just when he looked like, you know, he was getting little glimpses off the bench and then he thought, okay, you got a couple of starts, he got that injury and he's been out. The trouble, of course, is if you bring Ola in, he's a number 10.
Yeah.
That's Ola's position. He's not a striker. He's not really a winger. He can play wide, but he's really a number 10. So the only issue is if you try and bring Ola in to add a bit of creativity, the person you would have to be taken out is Aidan Nesbitt, who's the guy who's got more assists than anyone in your squad.
Well, when was Aidan Nesbitt's last assist? That's the change I would make. That's the change I would make right there. Absolutely. Aidan Nesbitt needs, you know, we talked about slowing down the play. We talked about, you know, Aidan Nesbitt just, he's not offered goals recently. He's not offered assists recently. So what is he offering in that number 10 role?
There's maybe it's right there between Guff and Nizzy for the left of the three on Saturday. And you look at doing something unorthodox and bringing either Max or Ola in as a number 10.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Miss Chandler, Bonbon, players chucked the league after the Dunfermline game and they think they're Billy Big Boss because they managed to get to the Scottish Cup semi. That was rotten. Every single player stole a wage. Zero strikers, three on the bench, fearful of Airdrie now. McGuinn needs a rethink. Yes, I agree with that. There we go. Mickey, need to give Burrow and Allen a chance. They're solid at the back. We're solid at the back, but there's not enough going forward. Got to push out to the defence. You know, that's a lot of clean sheets now, but apart from Queen of the South, but that's three clean sheets on the spin. Two clean sheets on the spin, isn't it? But yeah, so we've got to put a shout out to the defence, I guess. Brian Kinnear didn't look like
almost gone from one side to the other because earlier on in the season we were scoring goals, not fully keeping the back door shut. We're now keeping the back door shut. Unfortunately, it's the other end of the pitch that's now causing us problems.
Yeah, Big Brad's made a difference in there, and certainly I've always said big, physical, you know, good, dangerous at set pieces. I like Brad. I really do. He's coming to a game.
He's a different player under John McGlynn.
Yeah.
He really is. I think John McGlynn's given him a bit of confidence. And I think, you know, there's a big argument that for me, since the kind of turn of the year, December, January, whatever it was that Brad started playing consistently again, he's actually been one of the most consistent performers. And I know there'll be somebody in the background somewhere going, oh, he's consistently no great at this or that. But you know what? All our players, respectfully, have strengths and weaknesses, right? If there was a perfect player, they're probably not going to be with Falkirk. But Brad, along with Leon, defensively, you know, these guys and Big Call, you see the influence he's had. I think our defenders actually have had a really pretty consistent time since going back to about December. I don't think they've done too much wrong.
No, yeah, I'm struggling to think of when I've really shouted. Maybe obviously then Dunfermline, I think there was a couple of faults in defence there. But
I mean, maybe I would probably go back to the last Clyde game, the 3-3. That's the one obvious game I look at and go, you know, respectfully, we were just all over the place that day. But since kind of late November, early December, defensively, I think we've been a lot better.
Yeah, I think I saw you kind of nodding along to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, probably one of the most consistent players at the start was Leon McCann on the left. I think what he was offering defensively as well as going forward was tremendous. Some of the balls he's putting in the box, I think he even grabbed a couple of goals at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if his confidence has maybe taken a bit of a dip recently. I don't think I think he's been at his best last few games, and Rowe as well. And the other side, he's been probably one for me, probably the second most consistent player behind Brad.
Yeah, no, he's very, very consistent. Again, going back to Lewis's 3-5-2 theory, I quite like the idea of that, and giving Leon a bit more license to get up, you know, in front, and same with Blaine as well on the other side. David says, we're the easiest team in the league to play against if you want a 0.0 threat with this formation. And Bruce sums it all up with, I think it's shite. However, it'll be okay, says Bruce. So, you know, bit of positivity. It's shite the now. It's shite, but it'll be okay. So that's Bruce's positive message. That's
I just wonder if Bruce has ever considered a like career in diplomacy at any point in his life. But to be fair, you know, Saturday was poor. There's no getting away from that. We're all disappointed. We've just got to hope we bounce back, because you know what? The next couple of weeks, Tuesday, Saturday, these games are going to come thick and fast. And as you say, John, if the finger is not extracted rapidly, then the danger is Airdrie will overtake us.
We just need to find form. We just need momentum going into the playoffs and going into that semi-final. We just need to find momentum over these next like four games. And like you say, you beat Dunfermline, you beat Airdrie, you beat Montrose. All is forgiven, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's it. You beat Dunfermline, beat Airdrie, and you're like, ah, brilliant. What were we worrying about? What were we talking about? But, you know, fingers crossed. Big games coming up, big games. Right, Falkirk Daft rated, who are we going for, Lewis? I think you hinted on it earlier on.
Yeah, for me, I would be really struggling to see beyond Brad. I don't think we did anything major to shout about in the final third in an attacking sense. Midfielders were okay, but there wasn't quite the creativity. So for me, you have to look at somebody in the back line. And as I said at the start of the show, I think the one guy who he made every block, he made every tackle, he won every header, was Big Brad. He didn't do a thing wrong. And I know it's not spectacular, but I think sometimes you just have to give credit where credit's due.
Big Bad Brad for Lewis. Sinky, who you got?
Difficult to see past him. I think he's an aerial threat in the box at set pieces as well. I'd go on as well. Maybe second place would be Rowe as well, but I think I'd like to see him I'd like to see him communicate a bit more with Morrison. The amount of times he's gone up there, there's been situations where they've not been talking to one another, and not get the ball in early enough. But he'd be probably come second. Well, Brad for me.
Yeah, Big Bad Brad gets it this week. Right. Dafty Lewis.
Oh, struggling to be honest. There's nobody who obviously was horrific, but it was just one of those games where not a lot happened. You know, you could almost say a collective. I can't even think of a. I'm really struggling to think of a Dafty this week. I really, really am.
Thank you.
I think it's fair to single any of the players. You know, they're all. Ultimately, well, they're all accountable, but I think maybe ultimately accountable would be McGlynn himself. I think it was an opportunity, I think, to go with the two up top in that game. We must have known going into it that they're going to be sitting deep with everyone behind the ball, and we'd have to try and break them down as best we could. Yeah.
McGlynn's had it a couple of times this season for that exact reason, so John McGlynn getting it this week. And that's it for looking back at Clyde. Sinky, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate your time, mate. If you want to be a guest pundit just like Sinky there, please drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us at falkirkdaftpod. That's our old email address. We've got the new fancy one now. You can just email us anything. You can say john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can say arsehole@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Just drop us an email with something in front of it, @falkirkdaft.co.uk. We'll get it and we can get you on the show in the next couple of weeks.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So let's look to head to our new opponents. We've not actually got a guest from Dunfermline on this week, Lewis, probably for the best.
They were busy with their sister, mate. You can't help it.
Exactly. Because, you know, the last thing we want to hear ahead of this game is their little gloating voices. especially, I mean, they've matched us in results over the last 2 weeks as well. 2-0-0s for them going into this game. Both teams sort of struggling at the moment. Dunfermline certainly struggling to find form after beating us. Again, they seem like they've taken the foot off the gas. They got the job done at East End. We've got into the Cup semi. We've taken our foot off the gas, it seems. But we still find ourselves, after that Queen of the South result and the fact we've matched them over the last couple of weeks, we found ourselves 11 points behind, which is brilliant. Absolutely fucking tremendous.
I know, it's been a real kick in the Ian McCalls, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been brutal. It's been brutal. The great news is, after the results at the weekend, is they can't win at our place on Saturday. Thank the Lord.
Do you know that? I'll be honest. That's exactly what we were doing up in that gantry through at Hamilton, was as soon as it was full time in our game, you realised the Dunfermline game was running about 5 minutes behind.
Yeah.
And it was just constantly refreshing, you know, come on, you bastard, blow full time. Could not have handled had that league been decided at our place next week.
That'd be absolutely horrible. The thought of it was just, I mean, they sold out their allocation weeks and weeks ago for this game. So there's going to be 2,500 of them there on Saturday. We need to get 3 points, Lewis. We can't have a season where we've not beaten Dunfermline in this league. Obviously, looking over the last few games, the one at East End, you know, the start, you know, back first game 1-1, you're thinking, right, here we go. At the start, you should have probably won that game when you look at...
Just what I was going to say. And that's a frustration for me, is you look back at that first game at East End Park, second half, full credit to Dunfermline, they were the better team.
Yeah.
Who is that? But they should have been 4-0 down at halftime.
Yeah.
And respectfully, I don't care who you are, if you are 4-0 down at halftime in a game, you're basically done. The game's over. Barring some miracle of miracles, you're done. And that was the frustration. I mean, we could have been like 2-3-0 up within, I think it was something like 17 or 18 minutes. You know, we absolutely battered them. But as we've said so often this season, we didn't take our chances. And that was our big problem in the first kind of quarter to third of the season. We were not clinical enough this season. And then we got that sorted, and then we've kind of tailed off again. So I think that's the frustrating bit for me, John. You look at that first East End Park game, we should have had that in the bag. And in a way, it was our own fault that we didn't. You move on to their win at our place. You're caught on the break after keeping them penned in for long spells of the game.
Yep.
You know, fair play to Dunfermline. They had one chance, really, in that game, and they took it.
Yeah, sometimes we didn't create the game, the first game at our stadium, we were poor. Yes. We didn't create anything. We were awful. McPate got his tactics spot on against McGlynn. He won that battle, as he did at East End Park as well. And they'll come here on Saturday, and they'll walk away with a draw quite happy. They will walk away quite happy with a draw. They will be determined to beat us. Absolutely.
I think they'll surprise you. I don't think they'll play for a draw on Saturday. I think they will actually be absolutely going all out for the win, because the gap between the two teams is so big.
Yeah.
They know they can afford to lose the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Realistically, the title's still in the bag anyway.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go for 4 out of 4. Let's go for a clean sweep.
That might suit us.
That's what I would be doing.
That might suit us, though, because, you know, the last couple of games, as we've said, we've faced three teams who have kind of sat in against us. You know, but as we're going back to what we're talking about, do we have the pace? Do we have the energy to get the ball quicker up the park if we're going to go and counter-attack against them? You know, we've certainly got personnel and someone like Callum Morrison that can go and do that. But will we find that? It's you know, we're going into this game knowing that the league's done, but we've got to, and McGlynn has got to be getting into the players' head. We cannot go through this season without beating Dunfermline. We cannot. I can't handle it. Honestly, it is ridiculous. If we go through this season without beating Dunfermline, I will be raging, absolutely raging.
It's annoying because you look back at the last game. You know, first goal aside, the assistant referee, McCrae, the Falkirk fan, has had a shocker. He has. You know, there's no doubt about that. And I know Dunfermline fans, they'll wind us up about it. Fine, I get it. If we were in the situation, you would find it amusing as well, right? But at the end of the day, the ball's not crossed the line.
No.
It's not gone in the net.
You just went like
that. An absolute howler. Mm-hmm. Never mind the fact he's a Falkirk fan. I don't think he was overcompensating for anything. He had the Dunfermline young team behind him, you know, with screaming, hopefully. And I can only think that's influenced him because he's had a shocker. Now, let me caveat that a little bit, because I'm not for a second saying, oh, Falkirk magically would have won that last game had that, you know, not happened.
We weren't good enough in the last game. We didn't deserve to win it.
That was our poorest performance. And in terms of the Derby games. We were not at it at all the second time at East End Park. We just weren't. So happy to concede that we were not, that Vermont were the better team. But when you're still 0-0, anything can happen in a game. And that goal did change the game. I still maintain what I said last week, though. We didn't lose that game on lack of ability. We lost that game at East End Park last time, Mr. McRae's mistake aside, because Dunfermline were bigger and stronger. They out-muscled us. They bullied us on the pitch. The one guy for me who stood out massively, and I think you need to look at him again on Saturday, is Matty Todd.
Yeah. You just signed a new deal with him.
He's a cracking player. He's quite creative when he's on his game, but he's quite a physical presence as well. People sometimes overlook that because of how creative he is. They think he's maybe a slightly more diminutive player. He's not. He's a big lad. He's a good all-round player, but he adds a good level of physicality going forward as well.
The fullbacks are very good as well. I have to say, Dunfermline's fullbacks.
I think Edwards is a good player.
Yeah.
I think Edwards and Todd are probably the two that stand out for me.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a couple, I think that's the ones that.
Reece Breen has been good for them as well. Mm-hmm. Reece Breen's getting touted with moves to Barnsley and Glenn Torden, actually.
Yeah, he's always strong, Reece Breen. You know that. He's good. And again, it goes back to
Benedictus as well.
Don't play in there because Reece Breen will win 90% of what you're going up against.
Yeah.
There's other guys, we've mentioned a few there, but it's not just Matty Todd. I think the on loan, or the guy who was at Rangers, Kane Ritchie-Horfler.
Yeah.
I think, he can be quite lively. And I think we didn't really see as much of him in earlier games, but I thought he had a much better game in the last game, the one at East End Park.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing that is still in my mind is the manager said in one of his interviews when he was reflecting on the loss at East End Park latterly, he said in hindsight, should he have gone with a bigger team, a more physical team? And I think that might still be in his mind for this game coming up.
What do you think he does then? Who do you think he goes with?
What I think he'll do, I think it'll be he'll maintain Stephen McGinn and Liam Henderson.
He's got to start, but he's given Dunfermline all sorts of problems when he's played against them in the last.
I think it'll be either Romain Borrell or maybe Matty Wright.
Get yourself in the bin.
I think it'll be one of those two. I think he will go with.
He's got to go with Borrell against them.
He'll go for one of the taller two strikers. I think it'll be Borrell or Wright. And I think either one of Aidan Nesbitt or Max will have to miss out from the number 10 spot. Because I think it'll be Stephen McGinn and Liam Henderson as holding mids.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Stephen McGinn. I thought Hendo should have started the last game instead of Max the East End when we talked about it. He's got to give 4-3-3. I'm assuming he's sticking with his guns with 4-3-3. The problem is McPake's got him figured. This is the problem. McPake's got him figured, and he has in the last couple of games against them. He's got him absolutely figured. So if he goes 4-3-3 and doesn't throw in a curveball, McPake will do what he's done in the last two games.
And that's a bit, don't get me wrong, both managers will do their homework. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. It's just what curveball can you potentially throw in? Is now the time maybe to bring Romain Borrell back?
Definitely.
I think there is a case for that. And I don't mean that in any way disrespectfully to Gary Oliver because he's been doing great for us, but there is frustration from fans because if you go four games without a goal, not just on a player's level, but as a team, a change is fair enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think score's going to be, Lewis?
Oh, I would love to say we were going to get a convincing win, but I think it's going to be an absolute battle. And a couple of the Dunfermline guys that I know quite well, they are very, very confident about this one. Despite the fact that we go in as underdogs, I'll take us for a one goal win. I'll say 2-1.
Okay. I say we're going to pump them 4-0.
I know what you're on, pal. I know what you're on.
That's wishful thinking. 1-0 up the road, scrappy game. I'll take that any day of the week. So I reckon a wee 1-0, but I'd love a 4-0 pumping, but as you would always do. And can I just say, going into this let's just stop. Again, I say it every time we go against Kent. All this Norrie McCarthy pish, get it in the bin. Get all this stuff in the bin. Let's just get toning them for being stupid inbred fifers, all that stuff. But, you know, all this Norrie McCarthy pish, get it in the bin, all this hissing, it was a lifetime ago, an absolute lifetime ago.
And we're talking 30 years now, John.
Yeah, and there's
talking almost 30 years.
In 2023, come on, we're better than that. So get that in the bin if you're going to the match this week. Yeah. I know, probably not a popular opinion, but fuck it. Get it in the bin. So aye, there we go. But on the Bairns, and let's do it on Saturday, fingers crossed.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, get the links, get your bucket hats for the semi-finals. You'll get that in the link below from Citrus Office Solutions. You can get more merch if you're looking to get kitted up for the semis as well. Shop.spreadshirt. Oh no, I know this. Merch at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Merch at falkirkdaft.co.uk. That will get you through to our merch shop there. And all the merch, all the profits made from it, like I say, going back into the club in terms of various things, sponsorships.
You getting pissed in hospitality. That's what you
well,
mean.
Well, that's not that's the case. Let's
be honest. That's what you mean.
Not the case at all.
This profits taste lovely, I'm sure it
does. you can get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Check out our YouTube channel to see Lewis's lovely face. And you've got to shout out, if you've not watched the YouTube, you can see Lewis's memorabilia, which is amazing. There's a wall of fame behind him in his house. Well, seeing Lewis as a single man, because that would never be allowed in anybody else's house. And it's in your living room as well, Lewis, isn't it?
It's the kind of dining room family room. Basically, armchair, football stuff, big telly.
It's the Falkirk room. It's the Falkirk room in Lewis's house. So thanks very much for listening. Fingers crossed for Saturday. Good support. We need to get behind them, and we need to get up these fucking dirty bastards from Fife. Right, sorry for swearing. I get very emotional going into games against Dunfermline, as you can probably tell. Thank you very much for listening. Get us at gmail.com. Not Gmail, I keep saying. Get us John Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Lewis, thanks for the last couple of weeks for filling in for Roscoe. He'll be back probably next week. We'll see what his reflection's like after the Dunfermline game. He's been very much calm the last couple of weeks. But we'll see.
That'll change.
So thanks for watching. I'm up the road, and Lewis, give us your catchphrase.
Well, expect the unexpected, and thanks for your time.